All right, you are listening to Baptist Basics University. This is Bus Ministry 101, Lesson 8. In this lesson, we're going to deal with salvations and baptisms on your bus route. After all, this should be your goal as a bus captain. Number one is to see somebody saved and see them grow in their relationship with Christ, and hopefully to see them baptized very soon. I do believe somebody needs to be baptized pretty quick after salvation. There's some deals with kids that maybe not make it immediate. You need to have parental permission if at all possible, and we're going to deal with some of that. Not a lot. In this lesson, I'm not necessarily going to deal with a lot of particulars and dealing with the kid for salvation or dealing with people for baptism. I think that is a good thing to cover maybe in another lesson. In fact, I have in the Children's Church series that I did. So we're not going to get into a lot of specifics. I'm sure I'll probably drift into some of that. But the main thing I just want to cover the topic pretty broadly in this. If you're doing your job as a bus captain, you will be seeing kids saved. May not be the first week they ride. A lot of times when a kid rides the very first week, it's new, they're scared, and they may not make a profession the first week. You also have to realize when you're dealing with kids that they may have been at a church and may have rode another bus somewhere, and they may already be saved. So you may not necessarily assume that everybody's lost, though that's definitely the safest way to do it. But you need to get to know the kids, know a little bit about their background. If it's their first time to ever ride the church bus, really their first time to ever go to church, it may take a week or two for them to respond to the gospel. It's going to be brand new to them. And as I say, it's a new place, strange people, they're going to be scared. Now, I'm all for, you know, putting pressure on people to be saved, but you really have to be careful with little kids. Let me tell you something, little kids will do things just because they know you want them to. They want to please you, especially if you're their friend or their buddy. They're going to want to make you happy. And if they know that you're wanting them to come down and pray, they're going to come down and pray, not because they feel the need to, but because they know you want them to. Especially if you have a very good relationship with kids, that's going to happen. Now, as I say, I am a Baptist. I believe that once someone is saved, they need to be baptized. That's often called the first step of obedience. I really hope to be able to deal with that in depth maybe in a future course in the particulars of baptism. It's a fascinating study and something that honestly we don't spend enough time on. And I wish I could really get into it. I don't want to get off on that rabbit trail now. But I really wish we could deal with a lot more in depth with that. But we believe that when somebody is saved, makes a profession of faith in Christ, now we can't see that they are saved necessarily. We can see the fruits of it, but you know, no signs pop up, no glowing aura appears over their head. You know, we just know that these people claim to be saved. And one of the safeguards of the early church and that Christ set up was baptism. It's an outward showing of an inward action. And so it's basically you telling the world and showing the world through humbling yourself to be subject to the act of baptism that you have been saved, that you have been made partaker in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that your old man has symbolically died, and that you've risen to live a new life in Christ. It's a more or less a symbolic action in a lot of ways, and I'm getting way off into that. Let's deal with that some other course. Pastor Dave Nofsinger, he was pastor at DuPont Baptist Church in DuPont, Indiana, for a lot of years. He was at Commonwealth Baptist College for a short time, and good man. I appreciate him, and he had a great impact on my life, just his zeal for the ministry. But he told the story about being at a youth camp with Dr. Lee Robertson, and said as they were walking, just happened to be walking down, you know, the road with Lee Robertson going to a chapel service or some activity, and Lee Robertson said, "Young man, let me tell you something that will help you in your ministry." And Brother Knopfinger said, "Well, of course, if Lee Robertson was going to tell you something like this, you're going to take note." And said that Lee Robertson told him, says, if people are not being saved in your ministry, one of two things is wrong. Number one, either the gospel has lost its power, or number two, the gospel is not being preached. Now, we know the gospel has not lost its power. The gospel has limitless power. The gospel has the power of God behind it. God has no limit to his power. The gospel still works. The gospel can still save and change lives and do miraculous things. So we know that's not the case. So the case then lies in that second point that Dr. Robertson spoke about. If kids are not being saved, you're not preaching the gospel to them. Now, of course, kids only have to get saved one time. I'm not saying kids need to get saved every week by any stretch, but and you'll have weeks or months where maybe nobody gets saved. That gets into other things. You know, that's where we want them to grow in their relationship. And we're going to deal with a little bit of that about going the extra mile with your bus kids in a future lesson. But if you're not seeing kids get saved, if kids can come and ride your bus for honestly more than a month and not respond to the gospel and make no profession of faith, something is not right. And that something that is not right is they are not being preached the gospel or not being given the opportunity to respond to the gospel. I know a lot of the modern trends with just general church services that they will preach but not give an invitation or give a chance for people to respond. Well, that's no good. That's like planting a field of wheat and then not going out to harvest it. So you need to be aware of that. That honestly, if people are not being saved, and listen, little kids are the easiest people to get saved. They don't have the baggage of sin. They don't have the bondage of Satan to keep them back from it. They don't have those lives of regret to keep them in the shame. They're open. Their hearts are ready, and they're not going to look at you very skeptical. Their minds aren't filled with all the atheism and stuff that they'll get into in higher education. These kids are ready. There's nothing easier than leading a little child, 5, 6, 7 years old, to the Lord. Now, kids will get saved at many different points of your program. There's not just one place in a bus ministry and Sunday school type environment that kids will get saved. You can lead kids to the Lord while you're visiting, on the bus ride. We never practice that very much on my bus routes, but that is something that I know some people do and do very well, that they will try to single out kids and have a worker talk with them, kind of sit off by themselves and have a worker talk with them about salvation if they have not responded. It's a good time. Hey, they're a captive audience. So that's a very good time and a very proper way to do it. Kids get saved in Sunday school after a Sunday school lesson. That happens quite a bit. Children's church, if you have a children's church ministry, that's probably the most common time for someone to be saved, because that is usually what that is geared for. So, of course, you know, with the emphasis there, somebody is probably going to respond to it. You can also be saved during special activities. If you have special programs, special meetings even, that's another time. So there's all these times that kids can get saved. There's not just one time, one big invitation push. You can lead somebody to the Lord at basically any point in the bus ministry / children's ministry. A kid can get saved. Now, I do recommend that you have a record system in place, a very practical, simple one, as simple as possible, in place in your church to record and report when somebody gets saved. When someone gets saved in Sunday school or children's church, or honestly on the church property, the bus captain needs to be aware of that so that he can follow up on that decision. And honestly, I'll tell you the truth, it's best if he has a slip in his hand for that child before they pull out of the church parking lot. That is the best way to do it, if possible. If not, have it ready for the next at the next bus meeting. Great thing to do is like a triplicate type form, that you have a form to file away. You have a form for the ministry itself, and have a form for the bus captain. That's a very good way to do it. A duplicate form works great. You can order those through Church Bus or the BB Publications, Church Bus News. You can get that kind of stuff through them. You can have them printed. It's not too terribly expensive, I believe, but you can have that stuff put together and printed pretty easy. Most print shops, like a Kinko's or something like that. But this is something you need to have in place. You need to be prepared for this, because, as I say, you need to be prepared for kids to get saved, because they will get saved if you're preaching the gospel. Now, bus captains do need to make a big deal about salvations. I like to see bus captains who announce it on the bus, say, you know, little Julia here, everybody listen up, little Julia here, today she asked Jesus to come in her heart and save her, or however you want to phrase it. That may not be the best way, but however you want to phrase it, you need to do that. And hey, let's cheer for her. And it needs to be a big deal. This doesn't need to be a mysterious thing that it seems to be very secretive, that we don't want to speak about, that we don't want to mention. It needs to be something that's very out in the open that kids need to be aware of. When somebody gets saved, it needs to be made a big deal of. And also, I think that the whole bus needs to know. You need to announce that thing when you find out. That goes hand in hand with the bus captain being informed of it. But I think it's great to be able to do that on the ride home. Hey, everybody, guess what? Today during Children's Church, little Sam up here, he got saved. Let's everybody clap for Sam. We're so proud of you, Sam. Of course, who names their little boy Sam anymore? Bad choice of names. Well, everybody has to name something really exotic nowadays. But anyway, that's another topic. Now, once a child gets saved, we believe they ought to be baptized. Amen. We're Baptist. We're not saved for salvation. We're saved because of we're baptized because of our salvation. The baptism doesn't save us, but because we are saved, we get baptized. The best policy, honestly, is to not baptize a minor, a person under 18 years of age, without written permission from their parents / guardian / caretaker, etc., etc. You can get into a lot of headaches. I've personally had them. They tried implementing a system, and I'm not sure if they still use it or not. I think they do with some of the bus routes at Clay's Mill. But when I was in college, they implemented a system to where the permission slip we had parents sign up front to let their kids ride, and got the phone number and kids' names, birth dates or ages, you know, that type of information, had a place where they could check if they wanted to go in and give their kids permission to be baptized. Well, maybe a lot of fault of workers, but not being familiar with that, but we had those get checked, and thinking we had permission for kids to get baptized, we baptized the kids immediately after they made a profession of faith. Now, I'll be honest, I don't think that may be the best way. I think it's usually best to give it a week at least, because a lot of times kids are going to come back down, and I deal with that in another lesson. But anyway, I had on my bus route a little girl that got baptized. This was very early on after we started this bus route. And we had a little girl get baptized. And we lost track of her. She was gone for a few weeks. Come back. There she is. She comes running door. Hi, Brother Matt. And I said, hey, you come to church? Oh, yeah, I'll be there. And Dad said, oh, wait. He said, Sugar, you go back in there. And Dad comes outside and just lays into me for baptizing his daughter. And I said, sir, I apologize. I said, we thought we had permission based on permission slip. And he just, y'all baptized my daughter without permission. And y'all just get out of here. Don't y'all ever come back. Not a very good position to be in. And also, we ended up losing another family, which I think they actually went to a Jehovah's Witness church a little bit, so I'm really surprised they even came, but that's a whole other topic. But honestly, I lost a couple of bus riders because of a very poor permission procedure, or at least an application of the procedure. And honestly, I'm gonna tell you the truth. A lot of parents are very hesitant for their kids to be baptized. They don't make a big deal about them being saved or something. They can't really stop that, you know, having a kid pray. But they're usually very hesitant about baptism. And honestly, a lot of them equate that with salvation anyway. So don't be surprised if you get a little bit of resistance when it comes to getting a kid baptized. Even though we believe it and we know the truth is that they need to be baptized after they're saved, you have to realize that the parents are still their guardians. They're still, you know, they're caretakers. And their decision, honestly, is final. I know that's rough when we're trying to do good, but you need to be able to go by the wishes of the parent. Let me tell you what you'll do with this. If you make a big deal about it and you throw a fit because they won't let their kids get baptized, you will lose that bus rider. Now, if you go along with them to an extent and just say, well, we'll try again in the future, you leave the door open for the kids to continue to come, and you still have that good relationship that you can build with the parents. Don't lose a rider for being a little bit too pushy on baptism. You can do it very, very easily. You really need to handle that type of situation with some caution. And I'll just to warn you up front. Now I'll tell you one good thing about this is, now see, what I like to be able to do is when a kid gets saved, I find out about it as a bus captain, and then I like to then go talk with the parents and discuss baptism with them. Now I'm going to tell you, up at Clay's Mill, they had a great tool for this. It was a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that had scriptures and explained baptism, and they even had some little graphics on there, diagrams depicting baptism and showing what they did. And that was the permission slip. It had a place for they could sign the bomb. But using that tool, we would go up and talk to the parents and say, look, your child made a profession of faith in Christ. They've asked Christ to come in their heart and be their Savior. And now we believe when somebody does that the Bible teaches they need to be baptized. And now let me explain to you what we mean by baptism, and be able to kind of go, we would use that sheet to kind of go down and explain. Now, and also say, look, you know, baptism doesn't keep a kid out of heaven, but the Bible does teach that they need to be. So, you know, that it's up to you as their parent whether or not you want to allow them to do so. And I just want to tell you what we'd like to do. And now maybe I'm not pushy enough on that, but I like to trade pretty cautiously with this, because hey, it's honestly the parents' decision. And a lot of times parents have told me, well, let's wait a few weeks. And I'll be honest, in fact, let's go ahead and get into that. A very often question that's asked is, when should a child get baptized? And I'll tell you that there's not a good answer to that question. I know I've kind of talked about this roundabout. The Bible does give us the precedent that someone needs to be baptized soon, if not immediately after baptism, or after salvation, if at all possible. Now, with kids, it's a little bit different. Especially if their parents are not saved, their parents don't go to church. It's very, very different. You don't want to rush things. You also want to make sure they have things settled. Let me tell you what happens quite a bit. And I try to be as thorough as possible when I'm dealing with a kid when they come down for salvation, and not just 1, 2, 3, pray after me. I will go through the verses. I'll explain to them why they're a sinner. I'll explain to them the punishment for that sin. I'll explain to them that how Jesus paid the price for our salvation. I'll explain to them how, through faith, we ask God to save us. and that God acts upon that faith to give us salvation. And then I will go ahead and even give them some verses on security. Usually 1 John 5:13, I'll do that. I like to use the illustration about how Jesus talked about how, you know, we're in the Father's hand, stuff like that. There's a lot of good little illustrations there that work real good. But I'll go ahead and cover that too. I try to be as thorough as possible as I can. I usually don't go into baptism. But I try to be as thorough as possible with what it is to be saved, how to be saved, and, you know, security that once you're saved, you're always saved. Even still, I seem to have a lot of kids come back. And I'll be honest, even the best workers I've seen with kids will have some kids come back a second time, a third time. And when are they saved? I think they're probably saved the first time. But it's not up to me. It's between them and God. If there's something there that's making them doubt it, you need to deal with it and deal with it very seriously. I'll tell you honestly, the most common thing that I have kids come down to say when they come back second time, they say, well, I still sinned. I still did something bad. And so I'll try to explain to them, you know, well, because you're saved doesn't mean that you'll be perfect. You're still going to mess up and fall, but this is what you need to do. It doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven, but when you mess up and you do something that's bad, you need to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you and help you not to do it again. Try to handle it in a manner such that, and I like to use 1 John and talk about, you know, the verse says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we confess our sins, I like to use that. I know I slaughtered quoting that, but that's a verse I like to use. Honestly, the younger they are, the more apt they are going to be to come back. A 4-year-old may come down a month. I've had that happen. And something that's not uncommon, too, is for a 4-year-old to come down, be saved, and then come back as a 6-year-old, and come back as an 8-year-old, and they keep doing it. Part of that, I think, is a result of us continually pushing for salvation, that kids want to respond to what you're preaching. They feel like they need to. They just don't quite grasp the finality of being saved. But, of course, I mean, let's say, we're not the judge of whether or not kids are saved. I do not want to send a kid back lost. So that's what, when a kid comes down, I try to be as careful as I can, talk to them, try to get them to kind of tell me what's going through their little minds, and then diagnose the problem and try to deal with it. And it's like, usually it's a case of, you know, they've done something bad and they're feeling some conviction, and they equate the conviction of their sin they're feeling now with that conviction they felt before they got saved. So just because of that, I'm going to tell you the truth, it's honestly a very practical reason to delay baptism for a week or two, just for that issue alone. Now, I've talked a little bit about getting permission from the parents. You need to do that, but you need to get it on paper. It needs to be signed, dated. You need to have full-fledged permission. Now, let me tell you that the great thing about doing this is, and using a system such as this, or a plan, I guess, not really so much a full-fledged system, but to do that, it gives you a chance then to explain baptism, but it also gives you a chance to explain salvation to the parents. It is a great witnessing tool to get the gospel to parents who may not be believers themselves. So that's a great reason to do it like this. So it gives you an inroad to talk with them. It also is a great inroad to get people in church, because a lot of times when, especially an older kid makes this type of decision and they want to be, you know, salvation, and they want to be baptized and the parents are okay with it, the parents want to be there. And a lot of times, you know, so does grandma and grandpa and cousins and nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters, and you know, half the family wants to be there. I've seen cases where we've had 20 or 30 people in the church service because their little 8-year-old kid is going to be saved. And all the family wants to be there, all the grandmas and aunts and uncles, and make a big deal about it. That's another very good reason to do it this way. But as I say, nonetheless, make sure you have written permission regardless. File it away. Just, it's not like you're going to be sued for doing it. The day may come where that happens. I don't think it will ever happen, but just for testimony's sake, for the relationship's sake with the parents, you need to have written permission. So, and I said that can just be a little slip that says, I hereby give permission to such and such church to baptize my son or daughter, blank for the name, and then have a blank for the parent's signature and blank for the date. Pretty simple stuff. You don't need anything elaborate. Now, as I say, I described to you what Clay's Mill had, and fantastic. If I can find my copy of it, I'm going to scan it, put it on my website. I kept one or two just for reference, and may put one together myself, put out there, because it was a valuable, wonderful tool. Now, I told you the story before about how we had an issue where we had permission for a kid to be saved before they even rode the bus. I think that you really need to get permission for baptism as needed. Don't get a blanket permission for all the kids. There's a lot of practical reasons, like I've just discussed, you know, being a witnessing tool and being a tool to get people in church, that really makes that, I think, the best possible way to do it. And so I've done it a few different ways and different things that we tried implemented on bus routes or in bus ministries, and I think that is honestly the best way to do it. And honestly, too, if they give permission for all their kids to be saved, and then you have a kid get saved 2 years later, you know, you had a 4-year-old that rode the bus, and they don't make a profession until they're 6, and the parents, all of a sudden the kid comes home with wet hair saying, hey, I got baptized, and the parent says, I don't remember giving you permission, and you can pull out the slip. I tried to show the guy that I told you the story about, I tried showing him the slip, and tried to explain to him, look, it says right there, you checked it. But in a very gracious manner. I'm not out to be combative or anything, but it won't do any good. You will be seen as the villain, and you will lose that rider. You'll lose their neighbors. You will lose their friends. So just be very careful when doing that. Now, I will tell you there is one big positive thing when it comes to getting upfront permission for baptism, like when you're signing up the kids like I described, and that is it does increase your baptisms. You just can immediately, as soon as the kid gets saved, you can get them baptized. The reason why I think that is because you get it out of the way. You don't have to deal with it. We have a tendency to not deal with baptisms properly. We have a tendency to put it off. As I've discussed, I think it's great if you put it off for a week or two. I think for practical reasons, that's very great. But because of that, you'll slip your mind. And you'll forget about it, and then 2 months will go by, and you'll think, oh my goodness, I still hadn't taken care of that. Well, doing this just gets it out of the way. It's done. So that is one thing. If you're really wanting to increase your baptism, see a lot of kids get baptized, it's probably well worth it. Now, I just give you the stern warning from experience that if you do it, you need to be very thorough and explain it in detail with what those people are signing. And I will tell you honestly, as I was going through that permission slip that we had, it was a great little triplicate form. It really was a very good form. But when I came to that point, and I would tell people, now look, this right here, if you check this or exit, that is you giving us permission to baptize your kids if they make a profession of faith in Christ. I said, that's completely optional, up to you. I just want to let you know that that's there. 9 out of 10 parents that I dealt with that in depth on said, you know, honestly, I think I'd rather be there. I'd rather know what's going on. I want to make sure the kids are serious about it. Or I want to be there when they get baptized. And if that's the case, hey, that's great. Tell you what, let's write down here's a place for notes down here. Let's write that on there. That way we know, and if you know if that comes up, we'll be able to talk with you a little bit more about that. So that's the best way to deal with that. I'll say honestly, my experience with it was not very good, but the negatives far outweighed the positives in my experience with it. But I'm not gonna say it is a bad idea. It just needs to be very carefully implemented and need to be very thorough if you're going to do that. I've already covered the last paragraph I have here. Listen, you need to get, I can't stress that enough, honestly. You need to get permission for baptism. And there's too many reasons I see to do it after a kid gets saved, to make a special visit and talk with the parents and deal with this with them and be able to go through it for the witness. And also, I'm going to tell you the truth, it's a good thing for testimony's sake. It lets them know that you're being honest and upfront with what you're teaching them and what you're doing there at the church. I'm going to tell you, and I know I said in a previous lesson, it'll scare you how many of your parents on your bus route have no clue what the name of your church is. I'll tell you the truth, a lot of them probably don't even know your name. They know who you are, but I'm going to tell you something, it is actually pretty scary to think of that a lot of people have no clue where it is. But anyway, that'll just about wrap it up for here. I maybe feel like I didn't go in depth far enough in the particulars about dealing with kids. That's something I dealt with in the Children's Church series. And even deal with baptism. I think I've dealt with that pretty good here about the permissions and stuff. But this is something you need to be prepared for. If you're just starting out, it's going to happen. If you're doing your job and preaching the gospel, it's going to happen. Kids are going to want to get saved. Let me tell you a story that happened to me as far as salvations go. For a semester when I was in college, when I was working on the Saturday bus route, I believe it was my sophomore year, I kind of inherited the 5 and 6 year old class on Saturdays. And I would have 30, 40 kids a lot of times. We usually had pretty good crew. Well, that was also my training ground for a lot of how I learned to preach to kids and to interact with them. It was that time. I thank God for it. It was a great blessing to me. Something I did not, though, push on, and partly because the kids were a little bit young, I didn't push salvation a lot. Honestly, I kind of regret that I didn't. I'd always teach a lesson and tell a story and try to have a point that I was driving across, whether it would be telling the truth or being nice or something. I would always have some truth from the story to push at the kids. But, it's not that I was doing it strictly for moral reasons. I would talk about God and how big God is and praying and a lot of spiritual things also. But I didn't make a big deal about asking for kids to come down and be saved every week. And I honestly regret it. One of the last weeks I taught the class, I was coming home for the summer. One of the last weeks I taught the class. And I say, I had those kids in the palm of my hand. They loved me. I loved them. And they would do anything I asked them to in that class. They're a wonderful group of kids. And I did a whole lesson, sermon. I didn't really do lessons. I did a whole sermon, I guess, on the crucifixion, about on Jesus dying on the cross and how they buried him, how he rose again, and told them why he did that, that he did that because he loved us, that he didn't want any of us to die and go to hell. And I tried to do as good a salvation presentation on that level for those kids. And at the very end, I asked the kids to bow their heads and close their eyes and raise their hands if they want to be saved. And when I did that, I'm going to tell you, probably 80% of the class raised their hand. And I'm going to tell you, I knew some of the kids that raised their hand were saved. They had been saved in the class or on the bus. The ones that rode our bus. I knew a lot of those had. And I think a lot of that was just, it wasn't something I normally did, so the kids didn't know how to react. I asked them to raise their hand, they raised their hand. But it scared me to think that, you know, of all those kids, I really think a lot of them just raised their hand, but there's probably a bunch of them that really weren't saved, and I hadn't really given them an opportunity to. And we tried to deal with as many of them as we could, and honestly, as I say, a lot of them were already saved. They honestly just raised their hand because I asked them to raise their hand, and that will happen. But that really made an impression on me. Made me feel like a failure. I thought I'd done so good and was able to keep the discipline in the class and have the kids be excited and listen so good to my when I tell the Bible story and my sermon and how they would be able to get on the bus and basically tell you the whole story back. And I thought I was doing so good, but in that moment there, I felt like a complete failure. And I'm going to tell you the truth, I think I probably was. Because even though I was doing good things, I had neglected the best thing. And now, praise God, as far as I know, I think not a kid left there or lost, or if they did, they definitely were saved in the few weeks following that. But I'm going to tell you something, that made an impression on me, just to reinforce the urgency that I needed to have in dealing with these kids and how I wasn't giving them an opportunity to be saved. Now, I hope that in your ministry that you don't get lax in presenting the gospel. I hope that you stay on top of things. I hope that you do a better job than I've done in the past with it. That's the main thing, though. We're out there. We're out there to reach these kids. We're not out there just to help them live a clean, godly life. We're out there to make sure that they're going to be in heaven. That's the main thing, goal number one. Doesn't mean the rest of that stuff's not important, and heaven knows that all the rest of that is. But nope, don't neglect that main thing, that vital first push that we have, that we need to see these kids saved. Then once they're saved, of course, we want to see them baptized. We want to see them obey the commands of the scripture. We want to see them have that taken care of too. So I pray that some things I've helped here have been a help, a challenge to you. And hey, go out there, win some kids for the Lord this weekend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your interest in these lessons. I hope that they're a blessing and a help to you. Thanks.